fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome again to Fire on the Earth. I'm going to continue to look at John's Gospel, chapter 8. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program this week, I really encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to the programs there. They're all archived. You can download them and put them on whatever device you have to listen to them at your leisure. I've been trying to touch this week on the need to make a decision in our life to be radically committed to following the person of Jesus, and in that, being willing to live a life that's different than the culture around us, to be discerning, to understand that every moment that you have been given on this earth, remember, you were made for a purpose, and your purpose is revealed so clearly in the life of Christ perfectly and through the life of the apostles and their teaching. You were chosen and destined, St. Paul says, to live for the praise of the glory of God. What does that mean? It means to be what you were meant to be. And you have one chance, you have one life to communicate that, to be united to it, and to live the life in a way that's consistent with the depth and the nature and the totality of the calling that you've been given. I mean, even if you're listening to the program, you're stumbling on the program today, you're not a Catholic, you're not a Christian, you're not baptized, you're not a believer, this also applies to you. Every single person on the earth was made by God, was made for God, and you have a profound purpose, a transcendent purpose. And that purpose is unfolded for us in the person and the life of Jesus Christ, who in the reading yesterday that I was reflecting on from John chapter 8, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I won't repeat everything I said yesterday, but essentially, the human race, to a great degree, maybe walks in darkness, walked and continues to walk in darkness. And that darkness is not understanding, knowing who we are, why we're here, not valuing the truly valuable, not seeing the fundamental purpose that's given to us by the one who made us and designed us. And so every moment on this earth is precious. Every moment counts. You don't know when you're going to be called before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody will appear before him who made you and him who came in the flesh to save and rescue you, to bring you home. So the fundamental question of your life and mine will be, did I respond to God's offer? Did I look at the light? Did I receive the light that came in Christ? Or did I remain conformed to the world? Did I insist on my own light? Because Jesus made it clear, if you're relying on your own light, you're walking in darkness. So here's the radical claim. We're going to continue to look at the 8th chapter of John's Gospel today, tomorrow, and into next week, because what's happening is you see the collision between who Jesus is, his teaching, his proclamation, his understanding of the Father, and the religious leaders of his time. It's worthwhile going through this just, first of all, to hear what Jesus taught, but to understand that Jesus says things that are very difficult at times, very difficult to receive, but Jesus expects us. He expects every believer to not just let some of his words wash off us like, you know, water off a duck's back, the ones we don't like. He's telling us his word is life. How do we have access to the life that's in Christ? Through his word, by obeying him, by following him. So here's the Pharisees' response to Jesus' claim that he's the light of the world. So the Pharisees then said to him, you are bearing witness to yourself. Your testimony's not true. So they're basing this on teaching from the Old Testament that said you need the testimony of two or more witnesses to validate what you're saying about yourself, or, you know, right? In the court of law, you need witnesses to testify on your behalf. And they're saying, you're just testifying to yourself. You're just claiming these things on your own. So why do we have to believe him? Jesus answered saying, even if I do bear witness to myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I have come from, and I know where I'm going. That's a very interesting question. I've been thinking about it as a question, posing it to yourself as a question. Do you know where you come from? And do you know where you're going? Do you see how fundamental this is? Jesus is absolutely certain. He knows who he is. And he'll say it here later, that he came from the Father. He knows what it's all about. The question is, do you know where you've come from? Do you know where you're going? That's what he wants to press in on. He says, you judge according to the flesh, but I don't judge anyone. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone that judge, but I and he who sent me. So Jesus' self-awareness, his understanding, he was sent. He knows who he is. He was sent by the Father. He was sent to make judgment according to the Father's mind about the world and the condition of the world and the condition of human hearts. Jesus comes as one who is sent. And in that, he obeys the one who sent him. We'll hear that very clearly. Jesus makes a distinction between himself and the Pharisees in that light. He says here in verse 17, in your law it is written that the testimony of two men is true. I bear witness to myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness to me. How did he do that? Through the signs and wonders Jesus worked. He confirmed the word of God, raised people from the dead. He convicted people's hearts, and they repented and followed him. So the fruit of God's backing of Jesus, the Father's backing of Jesus, is clear. He gives testimony to his beloved Son. And he ultimately will give the final testimony by raising him from the dead and giving him a share in his glory in heaven forever. They said to him, therefore, where's your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. If you knew me, you will know my Father also. This is an important thing to think about in relationship to a world that has created so many of its own pathways to God. And so many people have created so many different kinds of religions claiming to understand God and the way to God. Now, the Catholic Church looks at the longstanding religions, the traditional religions of the world, and says, something of God's light certainly can, and in some ways is, revealed in those religions. But none of them, to the degree that they have some truth about God, and that truth is a dimension of light that's refracting through their experience of reaching up to God and trying to understand God, but none of those religions are salvific. None of them have the capacity and power by virtue of the grace that's being communicated through them, so to speak, to bring about salvation, because they don't have it. There's only one road to salvation. There's only one source of eternal life, and it's God through his Son, Jesus Christ, period. Now, the Church teaches that it's possible for someone who does not know God but follows the light of their conscience as it's been revealed to them by God, which only God knows, it's possible for them to be saved. They're not saved by their own efforts. They're saved by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everyone who ultimately enters heaven will enter heaven because they said yes in some way that God only knows to the sacrifice of offer of God's love in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. But Jesus is making it very clear here. He's the one who knows the Father. He's the one who knows him perfectly and is perfectly united to him. Everybody else sees in a glass dimly, as it were. Like, we can't see that clearly. And as he said here to the Pharisees, he says, you judge by your flesh. You rely too much on your own resources and you trust yourself too much. And that's a problem for you. It blinds you because you don't see your own pride. You don't see your own lusts and anger and bitterness and how much your own self-interest dominates your life. So he goes on. He says again, Jesus, you know neither me nor the Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So Jesus is right there in the temple in Jerusalem. This is the center of it all. And he's saying these very radical things. And it says he was not yet arrested because God's in charge of this whole thing, and his hour, what was his hour? He was not yet arrested because his hour was Calvary, right? Jesus came to die. Jesus came to become a sacrifice for sin. He's not a failed Messiah who ended up finally just being rejected and crucified. He came to climb up on that cross. He came to offer his life as a sacrifice for your sin and mine and for the sins of the whole world. Jesus knew exactly why he came, who he was, what his mission was, and he received it directly from the Father, and he obeyed him even to the end. Now he goes on to verse 21 here in chapter 8. Again he said to them, I go away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Wow. Where I'm going, you cannot come. I mean, listen to this. Talk about this. He's looking right at them. These are the religious leaders who see themselves as being the holiest of everybody. And Jesus looks right at them, and he says, I go away. He's talking about, you know, soon he's going to die, he's going to be crucified, and he's going to return back to the Father. And he said, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. He'll say this at different times. You will die in your sins unless you repent, unless you change the direction of your life, unless you acknowledge that sin has a hold of you and that you are in need of God's salvation. And Jesus is the physician right there. He's speaking challenging words to the Pharisees. He loves them. He's speaking the truth in love. He doesn't hate them. He's angry at them. But as Scripture says, be angry, but do not sin. Jesus has a healthy anger here, because they refuse to acknowledge the gift. And he's especially frustrated with them because they're the ones who should be the most receptive. And they're the ones who should be trumpeting who he is. And they should be leading other people to follow him. But instead, they're leading people away. And they're missing the heart of the law that they proclaim, because their own hearts are hardened and their senseless minds are darkened at some level. So unless they repent, they're going to die in their sin. Here's the reality. Jesus came to deal with the sin problem. The sin problem produces the death problem. There is no future. There's no future. There's no eternity. There's no victory over death apart from the life, passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and being united to him through repentance and baptism. Repenting of our sin, acknowledging our need for Christ, and surrendering to him, confessing our sin, and being baptized into Christ. I'll talk about baptism at some other point, but I just want to finish this section. Then the Jews said, will he kill himself? Since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? Jesus said to them, you are from below, I'm from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins, and yes, you believe that I am he. This is really getting intense now. He's just, we'll see tomorrow. Jesus is about to claim his divinity, and it is absolutely rocking the world of the Pharisees. Hope you can tune in tomorrow. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.